We on? It's 8:46 on the clock, and we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for June 21st, 2017. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda: one is the general agenda, two is approved minutes of the meeting held June 7th, 2017, three is approve all claims through June 21st, 2017 in the amount of $1,798,708.50. Accept claim number 170601019 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $927.50. Claim number 17060250 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $113.
Boy, I wish I was right,
Myra. Wow.
That wouldn't pass.
46 cents. And there's too many zeros here.
Yeah, there are a few no's on that one.
And claim number 170600266 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $17,489.04 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence. Receive. Approve Gage County disaster declaration and having chairman sign declaration. Approve permit number 1068 to Windstream Nebraska Inc. for boring and plowing 1,206 feet of replacement cable on East Willow Road, west of South 120th Road, 5 feet deep in north shoulder of road located in southeast 4th of Section 30 and northeast 4th of Section 31, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, Liberty Township. Entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Tiemann. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 170601019 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $927.50.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Byers. Motion by Juergens.
Juergens.
Yeah, it's Tiemann's. Second by Byers. Vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 170600250 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $113.46.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Byers. Vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion to approve or disapprove claim number 170600266 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $17,489.04. Total dollar amount of claim approved through June 21st, 2017 is $1,817,238.50.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve by Byers, seconded by second by Juergens. That is for gravel. Gravel and rock hauling, or gravel hauling for the county, for that amount. Terry will go over some of the reasons why that amount then is so large. This was the last pay time we could pay in the fiscal year. So anybody that wanted or needed a claim in this fiscal year, this will be closing out the year as far as that. We won't have any more claims. So vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And this will be, we do have a public hearing, or not public hearing, we do have a 9:30 timed event for a special use permit. And if somebody's wanting to talk on that, we will have a comment period right before that for that. So this is just for anything else.
I don't see it on the agenda, but Tim and Jill are here. Would you want to say anything on? This would be the time.
Right.
No, we were going to do that during committee meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
We're going to have Tim up talk a little bit about. You were going to have maybe update more on the thing we're filing for. the disaster declaration and stuff and anything there. And we'll do that in
Myron, you're talking
law enforcement
about,
emergency management.
You're talking about two different Tims.
Oh, Tim. Oh, you're talking about them.
Yeah. I mean, did you want to,
that's
they probably want to address the what their building is doing
that's
down
That's up to them if they'd like to comment or
I
whatever.
Mean, did you want to wait during our committee reports, Road and Bridge Park?
No, that we some of us visited with them earlier. We had Gary Burris and Don Novotny here on the committee meetings, and they were discussing about theirs. We do have Tim and his wife here about their proposed permit for their turkey hatchery. If they would like to come up and talk, they sure can at this time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we need name and address for the record.
Jill Shale.
Yeah.
45, you want total address?
Nope. Yeah.
45846 Southwest 89 Road.
Yeah.
Odell. I guess I wasn't here at the meeting the other night, other day, so I don't know what was said, but we are planning on putting in a turkey layer facility in cooperation with Hybrid Turkeys, who is putting up the hatchery. We would be growing turkeys in one shed and then laying turkeys in another shed. There's only two sheds. There looks like a complex of four. They're connected with a shower system. Two buildings each have a shower system. Hybrid will own the turkeys. The size of it in the contract is listed specifically that there will not be more than 14,900 turkeys housed there, and that is equivalent to 298 animal units, according to your zoning laws. So we don't fall under a lot of zoning laws. The closest house is a half mile away. We have spoken with 10 to 12 neighbors. We have obviously one neighbor not happy. I had a manure plan included, which I did not need to do. DEQ requires a manure plan hitting 16,200 turkeys. We are well under 16,200 turkeys. The manure plan is to haul the manure down to our farm, which is about 4 miles away. We have an old railroad right-of-way there with a nice solid base. So when the crops are growing, we'll haul it down there, and following that, we will spread it across our farm ground, which we have quite a bit, or we could spread it on our neighbor's farm ground that would want it, which we are willing to do. We actually had a lot of support from our neighbors. Honestly, we had just the one neighbor that had the issue. The other ones kind of were like, why are you coming to talk to us? You know, it's your ground, do what you want with it. Traffic is not the issue either, because we will have two employees a day coming in at 6 in the morning, leaving at 6 in the evening, plus Tim and I will be in and out. We will have one feed truck a week coming in. We will have one egg truck a week picking up eggs, coming to the hatchery with them. We will have an artificial insemination team from Hybrid. They will provide those employees, and that will be twice a week. So that's the traffic. Obviously, when we clean out, which is the turn on this is 1.6 times a year, so about every 7 months, we will clean out. You know, there will obviously be increased traffic there. If you've heard anything about the dangerous intersection south of us, obviously the only time that it's dangerous and any township road intersection is dangerous is when the corn is growing and there's corn on the intersection. That intersection is very visible otherwise. There's never been an accident on it to my knowledge, and I've lived there all my life. Neighborly, we did talk to the neighbors. They honestly didn't have an issue. So very biosecure, shower in, shower out. We don't want traffic. We just don't. You don't want the traffic. Off the road, 250 to 300 feet, not anywhere near it. It will be, if anybody's driven by McClure's, that's what this is going to look like, just bigger. And being a layer facility, we go from 6,000 turkeys in a 500-foot building when they're growing to laying that same amount of turkeys and like about 300 jakes will be in a building that is two buildings that are 500 foot long. Manure is just, it's not a commercial facility. It's just not. We're not going to dump it in the ditches. We're not. I mean, it's going to go on the right of way. So it's going to get stored. We've got lots of farms to store it on. So I think we followed every rule and regulation, done what we could do. We just can only do so much at trying to convince somebody else that. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But
will all the people of Gage County get a special price on turkeys for Thanksgiving?
Maybe if you're a neighbor, we might give you a turkey. So you have to move to our area.
Okay.
But it creates jobs. I mean, we're creating 4 to 6 jobs. Hybrid will be hiring an insemination crew. Hybrid's already going to be hiring 25 people. We're creating jobs. So I think that's good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate the comments. Welcome you. Not quite 9 o'clock yet. We'll do committee reports. Any other comments from the public, I should ask? Not seeing none. Buildings and ground, winter lights.
Okay, Dave, would you like to talk about that 9 a.m. taking down the...
Yes. I don't know if you noticed this morning, he did take it down yesterday. The chimney was leaning, so it's in pretty good shape, he said, what he left there, but there was some damage on the inside that was causing it to lean. So that is down. He's going to put a vent cap on it. And then while he's up there, we have a small section that needs a rolled roofing replaced. So that should be taken care of. And other than that, I just discussed at our committee reports about how when we did lose power here, it was nice to see how the courthouse operated without power. The generator supplied all the necessary things to keep going. So it went well. We did have about 3 pickup loads of branches to take off, and we lost a fence over at the parking lot. So we were pretty fortunate here.
Are you wanting to replace that fence or just get rid of it?
I would like to replace it. We're getting some bids on replacing it. And that's.
I think everybody should note, too, that while everything was blowing around, Dave was over here checking on the courthouse and making sure everything was all okay. We're just so lucky to have him as our building manager.
I did wait for the wind to die down. Thank you.
Thank you. Equalization. Probably not anything. Finance and insurance. We only have 2 minutes, but I see they're not all in here yet anyway. So go ahead.
Go. Yep. Okay. Expense is quite large this time. I'll go through the major ones like I usually do. Dave Lottman excavating, demo of the Wymore building, $23,480. NERMA and NERMA 2 liability insurance renewal, $134,941. Pictometry, $22,000. Beatrice Community Hospital, inmate medical, $11,713.28. City of Beatrice, quarterly EMS service, $45,000. City of Wymore, quarterly EMS service, $10,000. And here's the one that I might have to have Don chip in and help. Gage County Probation Office space rent, it says, for $616,000. Why don't you explain it from there?
Yeah, it's just because they couldn't put all the wording, the rest of it. It was a transfer. $400 was transferred to the road department for operations and $200 to the insurance fund for operations. So
okay.
it was cut off at that point.
It was only $16,000.
Yeah.
Was a transfer again in there for their...
But the probation office is $16,000,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not... No, we're not paying that much.
For okay. Richardson County Sheriff's Office, boarding inmate, $17,655. Lee Timon, public defender, $11,461.54. Now we get to the big ones again. A, sand and gravel, township gravel and hauling, $43,842. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock and gravel, $61,769. Hemline Incorporated, crack sealer use, $39,202. Contech Engineering Solutions, culverts, $25,567. Metal culverts, just stock up on culverts, I believe, Galen, $16,236. NERMA 2, highway liability insurance, $135,972. Odin Enterprises for steel, $16,924. RL Team and Construction, hauling county gravel, $17,489. Sapp Brothers, fuel grease filters, $20,739. City Beatrice, quarterly 9/11 funding, $45,911. That's it.
A couple things there. I think Don can help out, too. The NERMA, those get paid at the end of our fiscal year always. Those were basically our whole insurance amount that we're
for liability
paid,
and
for liability and everything, and that's why those get paid always on the last payment of our deal. I did get a letter from them, and I think Don did too, or for the county, that next year it's actually going down a little bit, a couple $3,000-$4,000 or whatever.
Say that again, Myron.
Our NERMA bill, yeah, will be going down a little bit.
All right.
Yeah,
well, a decrease of $8,309 or 2.98% from NERMA will be going down for our county liability and stuff. So, and some of those others, like I said, there were transfers at the end of the year that we needed to do for some of those funds. We do have a couple resolutions here after a bit on the agenda, but that's the main reason why that was so big this time.
And that $400,000 to the road and bridge is a normal transfer that
yes.
happens through the year
yep.
to fund the highway department.
Oh, and then the culverts, those were all projects that that we bid out for those culverts and
yep.
stuff. A lot of those just got delivered and stuff, and the claims came through. That's why the culverts were the way they were, too, and
yep.
stuff. So, and then the crack sealer that we purchased here at the end of the year, that was on there, too.
$400,000 is not extra. That is
right.
part of the amount that
yes.
we created it in their original budget.
Yep,
so.
Right.
Okay, we do have a 9 o'clock time event, and it's 9:02 on the clock, so we will do our Veterans Honor, the Vietnam Veterans Honor Flight. And Phil, would you like to take over? So I see we have quite a group this morning.
Yes, yes, do have quite a group. And as you can tell, they're still rowdy, so you got to keep them quiet sometimes. It's a very special honor. A lot of veterans that didn't receive a welcome home when they came home from the war during Vietnam. It's kind of taken a change now, and we're respecting and honoring those that served there. Patriotic Productions is a organization out of Omaha that has worked tirelessly from World War II veterans, Korean veterans, and now Vietnam veterans to get these honor flights, to get the veterans out to the memorials in Washington, D.C. Of course, they can't take all the veterans, but, you know, they... We were fortunate enough to have 12 from Gage County that went. 10 of them are here today. I'd just like to honor them. They took 4 planes out to Washington, D.C., and I think they all had a good time. But I would like to offer them to come up and tell you who they are and when they served and where they served, and like to thank them for their service.
I'm Jerry Van Winkle. I served Vietnam from May until August of 1970. I was with the Naval Support Activity Da Nang. The only reason we left in August, we turned it over to the Korean Army to take over our facility. So then we were deactivated, and I returned back to the United States at that time. I appreciate this time of being honored by the county board members and the Veterans Association, and thank you for the honor.
Thank you.
I am John Reitma. I served in Vietnam in 1967, and I would like to thank the county board for their recognition and also for the organization that put on the flight to Washington, D.C. Everything has just been exceptionally well done and organized, and it's very nice to see the change in the attitudes from years past, and I would like to ignore the things of the past and be very thankful for the way things have changed and for the way we've been treated and for all the efforts and to make it all possible. Thank you very much.
My name is Alvin Salzman, and I was in Vietnam from 69 to 70, and I appreciate everything that the veterans did, and it was a good time on our trip.
I'm Charles Smith, and I served from 1967 to 68 in Vietnam, 1st Infantry Division, and I appreciate you guys recognizing us, and the trip was beautiful. Everything went perfect, and I thank you very much.
I'm Steve Norton, and I served in Vietnam from 1969-1970, and I was with the 4th Infantry Division, 5th to 16th Artillery, and in the Central Highlands. And I really appreciate this recognition, and the trip was quite an honor. Thank you.
My name is Stephen Calkins. I was in Vietnam from 1967 to 1970. I served at China Beach. It's not the one on TV either. I was with a CB detachment out of China Beach. Thank you for this honor.
Yeah, I'm Ron Vertiska. I served on the USS Ashtabula. I had three tours of Nam and a total of 2 years combat. I was served in 71 to 75, and appreciated the flight and the recognition finally deserved us.
I'm Richard Hall. I served in Vietnam from 65 to 66 in Chu Lai, Vietnam. I really appreciated the appointment to go to Washington, D.C. to see all the things that went on, and a real honor to have it. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Louis Cotta. I enlisted in the Marine Corps right out of high school in 67. I thought if I enlisted, I'd get a little bit better deal. That was wrong. Sent me right over there, right into the horrific war. That was a different time, a different place. And appreciate the recognition that we're getting now. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Larry Remmers, and I spent 4 years in the United States Navy and made two tours to Vietnam in 68 and 69. And first on the USS Ranger, worked on photo reconnaissance aircraft. My second cruise was on the USS Enterprise. And very interesting, and thank you.
Could you talk just a little bit about that day when you took your honor flight, how long that is and stuff? They get you guys up early and you don't get
home. Oh, yes, it was. Yeah, we got up about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, and we got on the planes at 5 o'clock in Omaha, and 8:30 was in Washington. And it was a long, short day, you know.
Long, short day. And you got home back because they had on TV and in the paper coverage of you coming back to Lincoln and how special that was.
Yeah, it was awesome, you know, 7,000 people greeting you.
Yeah. But that was late in the evening, too. That was
It wasn't too bad, though.
It wasn't too bad?
No, it wasn't too bad. Everybody really appreciated that. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. No, we thank you guys. This comes from the board. Matt started this several years ago, and it's been a very, very great thing that the board's able to do, but it's the people of Gage County honoring all of you, too. It's not just this board or whatever. We have so many veterans in our county, and we appreciate all the years of service they gave and everything they did and have done for our country, and this is a little bit we can do to honor you. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, Phil, for organizing this. And we had one of the other honor flights, too. If you want to say anything here at the end, too, we had one other time I know we had an honor flight group come in, too. And that's kind of special to have that many in here at one time. Normally we're one person, but this was really great.
Yeah, it was really great. And I want to thank everybody for coming in and responding and showing up. And, again, we can't thank them enough. And even, you know, the ones that didn't get to go on the flight due to health conditions or weren't selected. Again, just thank all of them for their service. So, thank you.
And we thank the people. I know there's I don't remember their names. There's a couple that have really organized most of those honor flights or been a big part of all of them. And
Bill Williams,
yes.
Yeah, and his wife.
That takes a lot of time, effort, and commitment, too. And then everybody that donated, too, to the flights, because the flights aren't the program isn't cheap, and they've had a lot of contributions.
Yes, Bill and his wife have been tireless ever since I helped out with the World War II flights out to Washington, D.C., and they're just nonstop. And even now they have basically all the soldiers that have been killed have pictures of them, and they take them to different locations right now. I think it's at one of the airports, but travels across the state, and it's a nice memorial, and they just keep going. They're just tireless, so we appreciate them for all they do, too.
Oh, and thank you guys again. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
There you go.
I tried to get in, and they found out I had a pin in my shoulder, and they wouldn't let me go.
Really? We do have a little bit more here with finance. We'll go back to finance committee report. I know we're going now. There you are. You were here at committee meetings on Monday, and we'll have you come up at this time, too, and talk again a little bit about. She gave her report on the lodging tax at the last meeting. There were questions about that and the uses, and she had some handouts. I think everybody should have had one or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know who got one or not, but there's...
If you didn't, there's more handouts here.
Thank you for coming back.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And she was going to come back and explain a little bit more about the lodging tax and where that can go and some of the guidelines that are... have to be followed.
What I have for you are three pieces of paper, basically. One of them is a graph. One of them is what I call a cheat sheet. And then I provided you an updated copy of lodging tax receipts for Gage County. I think I want to start with what is provided by the Nebraska Tourism Commission first. This piece of paper was originally done by Tom Doring. He worked for Department of Economic Development. He was their statistician, their person who compiled, you know, all the things. And for all of us in the Convention and Visitors Bureau world at that time.
Sorry.
That's fine. In the world of the Convention and Visitors Bureaus, this was what we all kind of lived by, and this is what I have since I started in the business in 2000. These are the guidelines that I have followed and about how the monies can be spent. And as you know, there are two funds. There's the Improvement Fund, and there's the Promotion Fund. The Promotion Fund was the fund that was first created in 1980, and then the counties had the option of... imposing that pass-through tax, as you will, if they so chose. And they could do it up to 2%. They could do it up to 2% for both. It was a lot of years later that the rest... Douglas County was the only county for a lot of years that collected the improvement funds because they were the only ones able to. And then the rest of the counties in Nebraska said, well, how about us too? And that's where I came in, and I was the director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau and was the non-compensated lobbyist for the Nebraska Travel Association and helped to create the improvement fund for across the board for across the state. And that can be, so the promotion fund cannot be used in any way, shape, or form for anything's bricks and mortar. It can only be used for managing of the tourism commission, a tourism office, and promotions. That's what it can be used for. The improvement funds can be used for bricks and mortar type projects. And then we also said, you know, at some point, you're going to have a pool of money and you're not going to be able to have anything to improve. And at that time, it wasn't to build. And then they have since amended that you can now build an attraction. And so then it is put in there that you can also use that for promotions and marketing, which we have done a little bit here in the last few years, which has really helped us a lot, I believe. Also, though, that fund can also be used to help manage the position. So the majority of the CVBs across the state use both funds to help manage the position. I can't say they all do it 100%. They don't. But the majority of them also use it for salaries and office expenses and those kinds of things as well. They kind of split that. So they have basically to free up some marketing dollars to use for marketing. So this is what I fall back on. This is what I use. And it's simple to follow. So I just wanted to make sure that you all had a copy of this. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer. So then what we did several years ago, and I just updated it last week, is what happens when you stay in Gage County? What happens when you stay in Beatrice? When you stay in a hotel? Guests pay, the first 5% tax they pay is the 5% tax that's regulated by the state. 1% goes to the Nebraska Tourism Commission to manage Nebraska tourism, which is not a lot of money, but that's what they have. And then in Gage County, then we also collect an additional 4%. 2% goes to this pot, 2% goes to this pot, the promotion and improvement. Okay? But before we get that money, the State Tax Commission takes out 3% for their fee. So we don't get it 100% because the State Tax Commission takes out their little chunk. Then also, if you stay in Beatrice, so we have two lodging facilities that aren't included in this, the city also adds an additional 3%. And then you have regular, say, sales tax in Beatrice, which is 7%. So people staying in a hotel in Beatrice pay 15% on top of their regular room rate for all the fees and taxes, so that you know that. And so this is how we're spending the money. The promotion and marketing fund, you've contracted with the Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce to manage that position. And so we use the money for salaries. We use the money for marketing and housing office space. And there are times that that money does not completely cover all those expenses. And so that's when the Beatrice Chamber has agreed to come in every year and pick up the excess expenses. So that's a benefit for you being part of the chamber, is that then we make sure we have a full-time position. If you were to manage it again on your own like you did a few years ago, you only have really enough money for a half-time position. So, and I believe that tourism, especially down here, is a full-time position. So, and then the other, the improvement funds we have used for a lot of things in this county, and in the last few years we have used them for marketing. So that's how that breaks up. I also, we keep track of the lodging funds when we get a check every month, and this is an updated spreadsheet of where we're at. This percentage is looking at the year previous. Last year, in 2015, 2016, and I say it's 2015, 2016, because we also follow your county. The Convention and Visitors Bureau funds follow the county year, July 1 through June 30. So it kind of splits that. So we had a really great year because we had all those companies that were in town working. So our hotels were filled. If you stay 30 consecutive days, you do not have to pay lodging tax. A lot of these people, I assumed, would rent for 30 consecutive days, didn't. They would rent for a week, go home for a couple days, and then come back again. So we collected lodging tax. That was good for us. But if you see, we're not going to have that good of a year this year as we did last year. The year before was a really high year. I expect this year's to come probably at about the 2014-15 year at about between $60,000 and $62,000. is what I expect us to collect this year for the taxes. All of this has come to the surface, and I, you know, I think it's probably good to have a, you know, a time to explain things as we're looking at the possibility of doing a feasibility study for a new hotel. And I've heard from both sides of this issue, and there's a lot of feelings about whether we do this or not. The Engage and the city kind of brought it. The Chamber Board, I did formally ask the Chamber Board yesterday to help fund this. They have put it on hold pending a decision whether or not we can use improvement funds for this. And I believe that Engage has also put it on hold pending that decision. And at the last advisory committee meeting, they wanted to see what the decision would come down from the state's attorney general. That's where we're at. Do you have questions that I can answer?
So you're not looking for a decision from this board. You're waiting until the state attorney general makes their
decision.
Yes.
And then how it works is the advisory committee has to recommend to you.
Yes.
That's the protocol. So no, we're not at this point. We're not to that place yet. But there was some discussion about, you know,
what each fund can be used for.
What
can we pull dollars out? What should we be using different dollars for? The promotion versus the improvements. It may be something we want to look at in the future too. The big room fillers, the ball tournaments, things like that. Potentially investing some money there too. I mean, the amount of people we get into town, into our area on some of these tournaments is phenomenal.
And we have with almost. I think this is the first year since I have been here that we haven't, there hasn't been a grant, but we have put in a lot of money into our ball fields in this area, which does make a difference. Are there any other questions for me? Okay. If you have any, please let me know.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I think that chart helps everybody understand a little bit better where it comes from and how it's being used.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And there are, as Laura brought along, I think it's 11 or 12 pages of the legal stuff.
Yeah, the legal stuff. So.
Thank you.
That's why we all use the cheat sheet.
Yep. Anything else for Finance or Insurance Committee? Human Resources, Employee Relations. Law Enforcement Emergency Management. I think I've seen Tim here. Yeah, we wanted, you brought in, or not brought in, you came Monday and we had a signed the declaration, and you were going to update us maybe just a little bit on that.
Well, I was trying to get a disaster declaration signed, sent up to, and we wanted more clarification from the National Weather Service. They were pretty set on straight line winds. That's what I put in there in that declaration. Also, I went around to the other places as well. It's seen pretty standard with limb damage, tree damage, and, of course, there was power out in several villages and towns. He also requested kind of a number of what it takes to, or the number for a request for assistance. For the state request for assistance from, you know, what Gage County has to meet would be a $1.2 million mark. I try to get a very good clarification on how the federal request is. It's much lower. It's only $80,000. It had to do with multiplying. There's different formulas. For the Fed, it was it's like you multiplied the population by 3.71 or something like that, and that's how they got the number. And then there's another percentage for the 1.2 million. But after our meeting, the committee meeting, late in the afternoon, I got a phone call from NEMA, and they said that they're trying to get with the rest of the state, that with the whole week event of those storms that went through the state, we're trying to compile all the damages together, and we're going to put the request into the governor and then forwarded it on to the federal side of that to see if we can get any type of assistance on that. The bad thing is that they're really putting the pressure on it since they just said Monday is what they wanted all that information. They want all the information to them on Wednesday, today. So we're working hard. Beatrice is working hard getting that put together. Wymore as well. And yesterday evening I sat with Blue Springs and we got their disaster declaration signed, and they gave me some pictures of other debris pile that they had built up. There's also a certain amount, there's a $3,000 claim that has to be put, and so it's very easily met, especially with Beatrice and whatever, for their claim to be part of the claim for the assistance. But other than that, there's a CERT group from Hall County that's going to come down and meet with Great Plains Disaster Response. It's a Methodist group that's coming up as well. They're supposed to be here tomorrow, and we're going to try to get some of our CERT group together with them, and we're going to go through some of the places, the houses that don't have the capability of cleaning up their tree limbs and filling that need, and maybe we can help through the city as well, maybe in their parks, whatever. We haven't decided on what they exactly want to do yet, but that's what our attempts are going to be. Other than that, disaster declaration signed, and then I can get that forward up to NEMA and get that ball rolling. I don't know what damage costs that the county buildings had. I tried to get with Galen. I talked to Nancy, and she didn't say anything either. So there was no damages there, other than here at the courthouse with trees and that fence. So we can add that to that, but I'm sure Beatrice will probably eclipse that area because of all the debris and the manpower, and of course that we need to get a hold of Norris yet to get the pole damages and the cost for the repairs of that, which would be all part of that.
That'll be
quite a bit. That'll be a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
Any of that type of damage, like the city can claim, is like sign damage, any type of public property that the city owns can be claimed for that. So,
I would like to make a point too that we did try to help the city to get a dumping place out of the Gage County Fairgrounds, and they turned us down so that they didn't have any place that we could put things out there, which upset me very much.
Just because we're signing this don't mean necessarily that money will come through,
yep,
but it's part of the steps you have to follow through. Correct. To have a possibility.
Yep. Correct. You're just trying to make a claim, to ask for assistance, saying that you are encumbered and that you need help. That's basically it. It all depends on what the governor says, and then the governor will push it up to D.C., and it'd be up to the Congress and the president to sign that.
Did you have any problems, or did everything work the way it's supposed to as far as your communication network, all the rural fires, any issues any of them would have, City Beatrice, the different villages and cities?
I was in contact with, when the storm first started, Claytonia lost power, and they contacted dispatch. Dispatch contacted me, and they requested me to go up there. I went up there after, when it kind of settled down, because it was coming right down 77. I wanted to drive right through that to get there. But I went up there. Then I called down to dispatch. I was going to ask about, what the status was with Norris. Then Carla told me that they wanted me there at the dispatch there. So we sat there until midnight. After midnight, I don't recall exactly. I had Joe and Sam go down to Wymore to go assist them, see if they need anything that evening. And they were down there that evening. They asked if they need anything. Of course, they said power, of course, and help with trees. And then each morning through the weekend, I was in contact with Tobias Templemeyer with the city here. And then I contacted Mark Mites again, since he's the emergency manager for Wymore. Contact him on Sunday and see how he was coming along.
But everything seemed to, the no communication breakdowns, everything seemed pretty decent.
Seemed pretty well. I mean, we had some
as far as
tower problems and, you know, mechanical problems, best it can in that type of environment.
Thank you. I know we have Carly yet. I wanted to talk to her too in emergency management. But we have a 9:30 time event, so since we are on the clock for that, we're going to hold back off on the rest of the committee reports. We do have a 9:30 timed event for approve or disapprove resolution and permit number 2017-1R for a rezone request, Ag 1 to Ag 4, located in East Half, Section 5, Lincoln Township. But before we do that, made a public comment. Mazas, they will be coming up for our permit here in a little bit and explain the permit or whatever their comments they want to do. But this is public comment now for anybody else that would like to talk on concerning this permit. We reserved that for this here period of time. So anybody beside the Mazdas that would like to talk on this permit, this is your opportunity here to have public comment. Seeing none, then we'll move on into the resolution and the permit, and we will call Mazdas and their representatives or whoever. I see they have help again here today to come up and visit about, or have, if we have more questions or if the board has questions now, if you'd want to come on up. We do need name and addresses. Sorry for you, from you again for our record. Yeah.
I am Terry Sue Mazda, 12134 West Belvedere in Beatrice. I just want to say the reason that we are going for this rezoning is because we know that this is going to be an ongoing issue and problem in our neighborhood. It's not going to stop with anhydrous ammonia, that we're going to keep coming back to this room on Wednesdays fighting special permits. And so the only recourse that we can see to end this nonsense is and move forward peacefully is to get a rezoning. That's all I have to say.
I'll just make one comment on that. We understand your frustration there too, this board, and we visited with Roger. We're trying to discuss things too, and
thank you.
Yeah, we don't mind seeing you, but we don't need you here every Wednesday. Yeah.
We don't need frequent flyer miles to this room.
No, you don't get discounts or anything, no.
Ron Mazza, 12134 West Belvedere Road, Beatrice. Last time when I spoke, there was a couple of questions about the change that we were looking for, and there was a concern, seemed to be a confusion between the paper change and the land use change. And changing the paperwork to represent what the land actually looks like now would not change the land use now. So, for instance, now residential and ag are living in harmony, okay? Dan Crawford on both sides, east and west of me, have beans. On the front and back, he has pastures of cows. Jerry Myers has organic heirloom tomatoes for decades. Chris Carnes has an orchard. Virgil Anderson has cows in his pasture. Brian Hamill has a trucking business. My wife and myself have the organic vegetables and animals. Others have acreages that they call home. Everyone was in harmony until the Holtmeyer operation. And bringing industrial ag changes the composure of this area. And we're trying to maintain the harmony that what makes up this neighborhood. So we're not trying to not make it ag. All the ag I just named are, you know, those are ag too. We're ag even. I know that a lot of people don't think organic is ag, but it's also ag also. So by changing the paper zoning, you're restoring harmony to the area. Okay, so that we don't have to, this ongoing battles over and over again. After the last hearing, 2 weeks ago, it was publicized on the radio, we received a lot of positive comments. Everywhere we went, into the stores, to the bank, the farmer's market, wherever we were, people were like, well, we hope you win. You know, it'd be nice to see the little people not getting stepped on by Big Ag. And I told them, well, we're still doing agriculture. You know, we're not trying to make it just residential. We're just trying to stop industry from coming in, industrial from coming in, I guess. I know you don't put it to a vote, but if you'd put a vote out to the community, I'm pretty sure the community, from what I saw, would definitely vote for the rezoning. I know that's not an option, but just from what I mean, everywhere I went, people who I didn't even know knew about the case came up to me and talked to me about it. So I was pretty impressed by that. On another point, I was amazed that on the list of people who had signed the petition for not letting the rezoning take place, there was only one homeowner in the half section, either in the half section or adjacent to the half section, that was on that list. It's against the rezoning and everybody else who was in the homeowners was against the rezoning in that or adjacent to it.
Ron, will you repeat that? I didn't follow that.
Yeah, okay. Instead of reading it, I'll just say it. Okay. The list, I think Terry had listed off a bunch of names that had signed the petition. And of that, one of the names actually lives, their home is in the half section. And none of them are adjacent to that half section. Everybody else who is listed in that thing has land they own, but they go home to a safe piece of property, not having to worry about dangers of chemicals.
Okay, but the just so you're clear, the regulations say owners, correct?
I'm saying homeowners.
Okay, but the regulations say land owners.
Okay, that's...
Oh, no, I'm asking the question. You understand that?
I understand that, yes.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, of course, they don't have a problem with it because when they go home to their kids and their family, they go to sleep in safety. And that's not the case when you're in danger 24/7 because of industrial chemicals. Okay? So, you know, in the middle of the night, the ones who are looking for the rezoning are the ones that are going to be mostly affected. If something happens in somebody's pasture land or somebody's crop is okay, but they're still alive. Okay, they're not in jeopardy themselves. They still have their family. We have to be concerned about that. So, to keep the harmony in the area, we ask that the rezoning be approved. Did that answer? Okay. Any questions? No? Okay.
Ryan Greenwood, 2425 South 144th Street, Omaha, Nebraska 68144. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the legal standard that is to be applied in this case, and I wanted to clarify one point. Actually, Mr. Harris brought it up. He asked whether or not this list or this three-prong analysis was mutually exclusive. And those three prongs are, one, are we dealing with a small parcel of land that's seeking specialized treatment? Two, is that specialized treatment contrary to the public welfare or public interest? And three, is it against the comprehensive plan? And I found a good Nebraska Supreme Court case that answered this issue specifically, and I just wanted to read just a few sentences from it. It says, this list is not meant to suggest that the three tests are mutually exclusive. If spot zoning is invalid, usually all three elements are present. Or, said another way, the three statements may merely be nuances of one another. Now, as we review these facts briefly, we'll see that, one, the zoning is permissible, and two, it is the right approach. We acknowledge there are six homeowners within this area, four parcel landowners. We know that there's interest of one of those landowners to construct another residency. Ag 1 designation, of course, limits home residencies to just 4 units on that area, and Ag 4, of course, is unlimited in the residencies. The majority of the property owners are in favor of this rezoning. This application is not anti-ag, not anti-farming. As Mr. Mazza pointed out, the homeowners who live there, they themselves have farms, and that they grow and sell their produce. They too are part of the ag business. And so this request to rezone is to confirm what is presently there. It's to confirm the reality of the area, not to change anything, but to maintain what we already have. In conclusion, the zoning is appropriate, it's permissible, and it's the right approach. On behalf of my clients and Mr. Mazza, we request that this board affirm Mr. Mazza's application and rezone it to Act 4. Thank you.
I guess I got a question for, I don't know who to answer it. You said there's 6 houses on that half section.
Yes.
Oh. Approximate age of them. I mean, our zoning came in the 1990s, late 1990s. So, I mean, were most of them there before then or came in?
Two of those homes and one prospective home that's not built yet in that section, in that half section, have been added since 2000.
Since 2000. So 2 houses have been added since 2000.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you.
Any more questions from the board? If not, so we can have our discussion. I entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the resolution on permit number 2017-1R for a rezone request, Ag 1 and Ag 4, located in the east half of Section 5, Lincoln Township.
Make a motion to approve.
Resolution 1716.
1716.
17-16.
17-16. I'll second it.
Matt, a motion to approve the change from Ag 1 to Ag 4, and we have Hill seconding the motion. Just so I understand then, you made a motion to approve so that it would change from Ag 1 to Ag 4. John?
Yes. And even though I second it, I question why Ag 4 versus Ag 2. And in reality, it looks too much like spot zoning to, you know, approve this without, you know, a countywide reassessment of our planning and zoning, which is kind of underway. And I, you know, when I look at the zoning map, there's areas that you kind of question why some of them are zoned one way versus others not being zoned a similar way. But at this time, I think that process needs to proceed. This one I can't see happening.
Terry?
As I've spoke to in the past, this is spot zoning. It's highly illegal. Common sense would tell you this is ag as it's zoned right now. Planning and zoning denied this application 5-0. They're following the rules we have in place right now. So it would be highly irregular to go against planning and zoning. They're the people that know the ins and outs of what should be where and where it's at and everything else. It is just improper, that's all I can say.
Any other comments, or and I guess that's why I wanted to make sure to clarify if the motion was to approve the change from 1 to 4,
right? Ag, it's a procedural issue. It's much easier to vote something down if you're trying to go up for approval. Sometimes we do that where we vote it down, we vote for it. We've done that in the past, and then we talk about how we're going to vote. So the motion is to approve.
Approve, and John seconded.
That's what the request. I do that because the request is to have that approved. To me, that's just cleaner.
Yes. This, and Roger can help out here. This has this is a special use permit. Then the proper petition was filed, so then it requires a 5-2.
Okay, yeah, we had a petition that was sent in, verified. Nancy in our office verified that, so it will require a supermajority vote to grant this request for rezoning. And I would just, again, Mr. Juergens did comment on the a couple of the three issues dealing with spot zoning, which the Supreme Court of Nebraska has highlighted. The one I think you definitely want to talk a little bit about in your discussion, whichever way you're going, as far as an individual vote, is the deal about the comprehensive plan, how it fits or doesn't fit within the comprehensive plan, because that is a very strong and a controlling issue dealing with land use planning in this county as it is across the state. So, and again, Terry might have touched on it, but I think even more so, as you recall, with the Planning and Zoning Board basically did. And it goes a little bit to what John was talking about, as opposed to jumping from an A1 to an A4, which is rather, it is extraordinary. Again, the comprehensive plan of an A1 is ag. And that's what our plan talks about.
And my thought is this looks too much like spot zoning. Let the comprehensive review of the county proceed.
And Eric?
I looked at this with Dennis Rosine when he was here a couple of weeks ago, and this is something as we're moving forward with zoning review. It says developments are not allowed in A1. This is one of the reasons, problems that can occur like this. So, I mean, that's something we have to look at moving forward. If this was A2, one of the reasons for being A2 would be a sub-development area or something like that. It's one of those things that slipped through the cracks. It should have been caught. But as we're changing our zoning, I think we do need to address that so that we can avoid these, so there aren't these issues between ag and homeowners. By allowing it to stay the way it is, it does allow everyone to still continue doing what they're doing. It doesn't limit property uses of neighbors, but it also doesn't stop property uses that some of the homeowners don't want. But I agree with John, you know, we're in an A1 area. Subdevelopments aren't allowed there for specific reasons. And it would put a dot there of a oddball zoning out in the middle of nowhere.
And possibly, you know, after review by P&Z, it might end up being A2. I mean, I think there's other areas in the county that may end up being A2. Obviously, the look of the county has changed in the last 20 years, and it's just time to review it.
Terry, you got another question?
Spot zoning, three things. Spot, small parcel of land singled out for special or privileged treatment. Singling out is not in the public interest, but only for the benefit of the landowner. The action is not in accord with county's comprehensive plan. That's what you were attending.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we covered those. Particularly number three is where it all comes down to.
And I did go, and I think somebody else, maybe John or somebody else, went and visited too. I visited with Lisa Wiegand, who was our chairman a long time for the zoning board, and visited about this, and more specifically about the comprehensive plan. And she gave some insight onto why or how, when they originally set this up, what they were looking at, or why the comprehensive plan was developed the way it was, and it was to maintain the things that were there or whatever. Her thought was that they did these things for reasons, and that's all be reviewed as we're going through with Hannah Keelan, and why the comprehensive plan looks at things the way it looks at things or whatever, and why you develop them for the county.
And Myron, we're reviewing our zoning, but that doesn't mean it's going to change, though, either.
No,
Eric.
No.
We're just reviewing it.
No, I agree, but I mean, as we're looking, as we're going forward, I think it's something we need to address, though.
Those will be discussion items as we go forward. Yes, very much so.
And at the very least, there'll be discussion as far as changes with it. I would assume there'll probably be some changes in it when I look at the map.
Any more discussion? If not, if everybody ready to vote, vote. Whoops, we have any abstaining. Yeah, we have no votes in favor and seven against approval. So the permit is not approved. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time and doing it, though.
Yep.
We will go back to law enforcement emergency management. We asked Carla to come up here, too, because there were some concerns a little bit down at the, I think, the Blue Springs Tower. Maybe you were going to maybe be able to give us a little update on that or some thoughts
with the storm. My name, Carla Jones, Director of Communications. Effects that the storm had on communications in the county consist of the Charter Tower over here, which had the main PD channel and the admin channel, is completely flat. Blue Springs Tower stood strong, didn't fall down, but the antenna on top of the Blue Springs Tower is bent in half, which could affect... it does affect Wymore fire communications somewhat. Because of the Charter Tower, we were able to get into the Beatrice Water Tower and fire up the equipment there and brought up the radio right away Friday night. So we were able to maintain radio communication throughout cleanup. Let me see. Wymore has good mobile coverage. The Wymore Police Department has good mobile coverage in the cars because they are going from Wymore up to the Beatrice Water Tower. But their portables, and they know, are very hit and miss, but they are able to communicate on the South Fire. So until they get that antenna and this done. Also Friday night at 3:30 in the morning, the NPPD Mark Moore substation in Lincoln was struck by lightning at 3:30 in the morning, which affected our radio consoles. So from 3:30 in the morning until I could get Cornerstone Tower there at 7 in the morning, we were dropping our radio console intermittently where all the radios would drop and then they pick up. And it was just, they were struck with lightning up there. So our microwave was trying to communicate with one out west, and it was just dropping. The winds kind of blew it out of whack. So we were able to come up with a... workaround for that. We can unplug at the PD so that our radio consoles are off of that main Lincoln Tower, and actually that has all been repaired. So D&D First Wireless has checked the towers, was down at Blue Springs. The antenna, they're ready to order with the green light from you guys. The antenna will be about $1,600 for the actual piece, equipment piece, and then they have to hire a tower crew to install.
I got a question here.
Mm-hmm. If you got a question, mm-hmm. This tower of death that everyone's afraid is going to blow over in the slightest breeze.
Stay strong. Yep.
Which is probably our best tower. Will we have somebody that will climb that? At one time, they said...
I questioned that, and... they didn't see why not. So
it's funny how if it's not the company that's going to maintenance it or sell us a new one, it's good enough to climb. But
interesting,
So clarification: the antenna is still workable yet right now, or not, or it's in and out?
Well, in and out, in and out. It's bent in half. First Wireless obviously is a tower crew, so they did not climb, but he was able to test and ping a little bit off of it, and. The Charter Tower here in town, for some unknown reason, there was where they purchased at the tower factory in Iowa, they had a 360-foot tower ready to ship out to another agency or another company. Because they were told that we were law enforcement dependent on that, they were willing to give up the tower to us. So they're going to be pouring the footings. They're going to re-pour the footings probably later on this week, Monday, Tuesday, and then the tower will be shipped and they're going to start construction. So They told me yesterday window of being back up 100% fully functional on that tower will be 3 to 4 weeks. So if we would have had to wait for them to construct a tower, we would really
That's
be.
Not a county tower. That's a First Wireless tower.
That is the First Wireless tower. But that has the communications for
Wireless. It has our communications on it, but it's not something that so people
know. Right.
Not.
And actually, because we were all... The city and the county signed that agreement with First Wireless when they purchased that tower that we were just going to lease the equipment and they were going to maintenance it and own it. So there's no cost involved. They have to replace everything. So
at least it'll be new. the South Fire, doesn't that run off the Blue Springs Tower? You said the Wymore's running through South Fire?
Wymore PD,
PD's running
if
through.
They're on their portable.
So they're running through the bent antenna. Mm-hmm. Do we need to replace it? Is it?
Probably.
Well, yes, because Philly Fire needs to ping off of that, too.
And they're going
to
have issues over that.
They're going to have issues, intermittent issues, until it's replaced, yeah.
And we did up our insurance on the Blue Springs Tower last year. But we increased it.
Whatever you guys wanted, yeah.
Tower's good. So amazingly enough.
The next 3 to 4 weeks, we're gonna be able to get by and communicate without the use of that tower.
Yeah.
So do we really need that tower?
Blue Springs.
No. Charter.
Charter.
Oh. First Wireless.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise we can't.
So the next 3 to 4 weeks we can't communicate?
Well, we are communicating with Wymore. It's for Wymore PD, not Wymore Fire. And we are communicating on their mobiles in their cars, but their portable coverage is not good because that's dependent on the water tower's a lot shorter than the 360-foot tower, so it's you know, in the evenings, you know, because of atmospheric pressure or whatever, it's less, it's more staticky, intermittent when they're trying to ping this tower at the water tower. So, I mean, it's not the best, but it'll work until it's a workaround until we get Charter back up.
Why do we need to talk to Wymore?
Wymore Police Department?
Well, that's a contract between the city and Wymore and Beatrice. Yeah.
For dispatch?
Yeah.
That dispatches through Beatrice?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I just didn't know why we need to talk to Wymore Police. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just want to say because they have emergencies, too.
why are we paying money for the Charter Tower?
You're not. You pay for the highway...
The highway. Because that was what we didn't ask Galen the other day. Are your communications working at all down there? They're done. So
you'll save
the highway department won't have anything until this antenna gets back up. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys aren't paying anything for Wymore?
No.
We are paying for that equipment on the Charter Tower.
We pay for the roads.
Yes. We're paying for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, but we pay for Wymore, but we still need it.
They have their own agreement with Wymore in that respect for that part.
But it is in the county, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of the communications all over.
It's all magic, I swear. It's just magic. That's how it works. It's just magic. Don't try and figure it out, Eric. It's just magic. Just accept it.
Don't worry. You'll be more lost in another year. Don't worry about it. With the communications, we ask the same questions every time they come back because we take somebody with more expertise than some of us. I can tell you that.
In all seriousness, though, if the highway department's communications are out right now, this might be a good time to look at if there's a different route we want to go. If there's something we want to change, if there's a more efficient way, since you've trashed all your equipment.
Are you suggesting we spent more money in communication?
I'm wondering if there's something that we already have that we could use.
Well,
it works for Gus all the time. Galen just needs to ask.
Aren't you programmed in? Didn't they program in something so that you could talk to us? Do you have the SRS or No, they don't have the SRS, but when they came down and reprogrammed all your equipment and your radios, they put a channel in there so that you could talk to us in dispatch.
And they didn't tell you about it.
Yeah, they did.
Sorry,
so,
we communicate between ourselves. So
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for coming back up.
Yes, thanks.
Myron, I'm really just still amazed that with a 95-mile-an-hour wind, we didn't have Blue Springs Tower fall over and kill some kids on the ballpark.
I don't think they were playing at that time, Gary.
Oh, they weren't. Huh.
They were at Hannibal.
I'm just thankful that, you know, of all the damage we had and all of the stuff that went on in the county and the surrounding area that night, that there weren't, I guess, loss of lives or injuries and stuff.
I had no calls as a coroner.
Yes, which I guess I'm pretty amazed at that was the end result of that as far as people were, that we all made it through that the way we did, so. The rest of the stuff, I know it takes time, but we can clean trees up and fix antennas and stuff. So,
all joking aside, that is,
I know,
just, you know, on a serious note, that is really the lucky part of this whole storm that we had.
Mm-hmm.
As far as law enforcement and emergency management, I think that pretty well covers.
Unless Gus
has something more, yeah, that covers what we had the other day.
Road and bridge.
Okay, here we go. Galen had an email from Nicole Taylor for approval of the Bridge Match program. We'll go ahead with the procedure to get those three projects let. Galen's been working on categorizing bridges listed from the state that were structurally deficient. 14 bridges were 42 foot. And 16 bridges were under 42 foot. 16 bridges were over 42 foot in length. Contractor is working on the box culvert on E5 Lincoln. Poured the floor last Thursday. Friday night storm. Several crew members put a barricade for power lines and trees. Last but not least, Terry asked to have $400,000 transferred from Miscellaneous General to Road and Bridge Fund. And I did not.
We heard that after you.
I saw that. That's pretty well it.
But you do read them all and understand them. Thank you. That got hammered out in finance. Thank you. Anything else for Road and Bridge?
That will be on the radio.
Next up on the agenda, we have Paul Moyer with the State of Nebraska Department of Ag Noxious Weed Program. So, and thank you for patiently waiting. So.
Now, did you all receive a letter from the Department of Agriculture from Mitch Coffin concerning the weed Noxious Weed Control Program? If not, I have copies here I'd like to pass out.
Why don't you pass them out?
Okay.
Yeah, just start them around.
Okay, we'll do that.
The one I had or whatever was from you with the different weed problems.
I hope that I have enough. And if not, we may have to share. Well, I will. I'll give you what I have here.
Thank you.
And all that letter is just an overview of the state's requirement for a control authority to control noxious weeds in your county. So, but first of all, I want to tell you why I'm here. The Nebraska Weed Control Association, which is an organization of almost all of the weed control authorities in the state, They have an organization called the NWCA, and they went to the Department of Agriculture, the director of the Department of Agriculture, Greg Ibaugh, and they asked Greg for the field staff and the Department Animal Plant Health Protection. They asked for additional oversight and of the control authorities in the state. And the reason for that, there's a few counties in, statewide that are not meeting the requirements of the state law, the Nebraska Weed Act. So I'm not here to beat anybody up, but I do want to go over your score. We do an annual score of your program. We do an evaluation. And so I'm going to just go over the evaluation and how we score your program and, you know, if there are improvements that could be made to meet the requirements of the state. So the scoring system we have is based on four categories. And I've got some. I don't think I have enough of these either, but I'll pass these out. I have a score sheet, and I'll try to explain to you how we score your or your county or evaluate your county's program. Now, there's a total of 3,400 points that a county can achieve in their evaluation. Now, when we talk about 3,400 points, that's a minimum. That's the minimum requirement that a county needs to meet in order to meet the, you know, the law of the Weed Act. And we've got four different categories again. Number one is inspections. Number two, we do an office evaluation. And number three, we do evaluation of the county reports. And then also the continuing education that's required for the weed superintendent. So the first category is inspections, and as a field inspector, I'll randomly take a look at a plat map, and I'll go around the county, and I will just take a look at sections and see if there's any weeds in that section, and I'll write up a report on what I find, and those reports will be sent to the weed superintendent. And then those reports are, they should be sent to the chairman, and you probably have gotten some of those, okay? And so, and then we look for a response as to the control. Now, the score for Gage County in the past year, there's a possible 1,000 points for that category, and out of that 1,000 points, you achieved 500. So what happens is when that score begins to go down is when we have an open file. So that's an area where there's weeds. If that open file is not taken care of, if those weeds aren't controlled, then that score starts to go down. And the more open files you have and the less control there is, the lower that score will be. So if you have an open file and those weeds are controlled, then there's no loss of points. So that's one area where your county could certainly improve. I do want to say, though, that over the last couple of years, I know that you've gotten a new weed superintendent, and there's been some good progress made. So just I want you to be aware of that. The next category is the office evaluation. That's where I meet with the weed superintendent, Rebecca, and we go through several things. I could spend a lot of time about the things we go over. I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you there's a possible 1,000 points for that, and the score for the office evaluation was 730. Part of the reason for that was there's a requirement that a license be held for pesticide, and that license was not complete. I'm not sure if that is completed now. Can you tell me? So two of the three. So there's one more test she needs to pass. So she's working on it. Okay. So that's an area where that needs to be fulfilled. Then we have the county reports, and Each of you probably should have seen those, probably around December timeframe, and you can take a look at those. And then we score those. Once those come in, we score those. Out of a possible 1,000 points, you received 928, which is pretty good. Looks like there was a couple of minor things with an infestation report and a control plan. And then the final category is continuing education, which Becky has done that. So there was 400 possible points, and you received 400. So out of the total 3,400 points, you can see there that you received a score of 2,558. Just so you know where you sat amongst other counties, the average for the state is 3,100 points. That's the average, so you're a little below average. So there's some things to work on, for sure. But I think Becky's doing what she needs to be doing. So
if we would have had more points in that county follow-up, and that this was 2016 report, so then last year, what you're saying is she maybe made sure we got the weeds control, but we didn't send a report back in, or what?
That's part of it.
That's part of it.
Some of the weeds were not controlled, so sometimes that's maybe the weed superintendent's responsibility. Well, it is the weed superintendent's responsibility, but sometimes it's hard to get a landowner to do something, as you well know. So,
what type of weeds were we talking about here?
We're talking about the 12 noxious weeds.
On the ones that we've got.
On the ones that you've got. Yeah. Probably your worst infestations in the county are Phragmites, which is a kind of a weed that you find around water quite a bit. You've got one infestation right here in town that I would really like to see cleaned up, which is Japanese knotweed. It's not very big, but that's one of the worst weeds in the world, and you've got a little bit of it. So like to see that one get cleaned up. And I haven't seen any activity on that particular, and that's probably a city responsibility because it's in the park. So I'd like to see that get cleaned up. And it may have been planted there as erosion control, is my guess.
We also seem to have some serratia coming into the county and kind of a very aggressive.
It is very aggressive. All these weeds were originally planted as an ornamental, probably. The serratia was planted
along the roadside in Kansas, wasn't it?
Yep. Coming in from Kansas, and they actually planted some of that for some cover crop and different things. And so we've kind of caused some of our own problems for sure. But I think the one that that your control authority and Becky should look at closely is the Phragmites. And we're really starting to see a lot of that off the river. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what's happening with Phragmites. And it's extremely invasive, and it can make a huge impact on water conveyance. And so if we have one county that's taking care of it pretty well, and you have another county that's not, the county that's not taking care of it, that seed will be carried by wind and water and plants. So the surrounding counties constantly fight from a county that may have it. So, but anyway,
do any of the counties around us have it? Does Jefferson County, Lancaster, Johnson, any of them have it? Are they blowing in here?
Both. I mean, everybody's got it. I mean, so.
And we've got enough.
Yeah, everybody's got it.
It's a tough one, though, because a lot of it's in waterways. I mean, there's no way Becky could ever find it. I mean, she can't go tromping through people's places looking at waterways and stuff.
Most of it, you can see a lot of it from the road. It's big enough.
If it's on the road, it's possible.
Actually, the weed superintendent has more trespassing authority, I think, than the sheriff does.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go check on stuff with you at hunting time.
That's true. That's very true.
Just wondering if this is the Weed Act. Is there any penalties to us not doing this? I mean, we're going to continue, obviously, trying to take control of weeds, but is there any penalties for us not upping our score or not following things? I mean, do we get fined? Do you have any fining authority, or do you just kind of tell us you should really try to do this?
Well, there could be. I mean, yes, there could be. I'd have to go back and read the law, and maybe you know the law. But
in the last 20 years, do you know of any?
Yes. Greeley County, Valley County. What happens is we do an evaluation every year, and that evaluation is kept on file in Lincoln. If, and again, I'm not here to beat you guys up at all. That's not why I'm here. I'm just here to tell you what your score is. If we see consistent, deficiencies, I guess, at some point in time, I'm not trying to make any threats or anything either. I'm just telling you what could happen. At some point in time, the board could be called to Lincoln for a kind of an informal hearing to say, how come you're not meeting the requirements? So I believe that there could be some fines involved, I haven't been involved in any of that. Pretty much when we've had some deficiencies, the county boards and the weed superintendents, they picked up their game. So I think there's a few things, again, that the county could do. I think some follow-up would be great on some of these areas of Phragmites. I'd like to see that knotweed cleaned up. If you get online and do a little research on Japanese knotweed, it'll shock you what it'll do. It can grow right through concrete, and it's some amazing stuff. But I know you guys are busy. I want to give you a couple of examples of some success stories with Phragmites especially. The Platte River, as you know, has a lot of it. And as you travel the interstate, and it's very visible because it's tall. It's kind of got a fluffy head on it. And here, was it 3 years ago or so, when that big flush of water came from Colorado, that big flood? Well, about in 07, there's been a real push to control the Phragmites on the Platte River, and there's been a lot of money spent. I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars spent on controlling the Phragmites on the river, using airboats, helicopters, airplanes, four-wheelers, backpacks. And what happened is that we got rid of a lot of it. The river was choked down hard, and the water just wouldn't flow. Well, had that work not been done, when that flush of water came down, there was a very good possibility you'd have seen many towns underwater, like North Platte. So because of the money spent on the Platte River and cleaning that up and allowing that water to flow, probably saved the state and a lot of homeowners and landowners just millions of dollars, millions. So the amount of money that's being spent on the river systems, you know, it might seem insignificant. It might seem, it's unnecessary, but the amount of money that the weed control in controlling invasive weeds, as well as other things that you've probably heard about, there's a huge financial impact to the state, not only the landowners, but the taxpayers. So the other example is the Republican River. If you're familiar with the lawsuit that Kansas had against Nebraska, there's about a $70 million lawsuit that we were going to have to pay. So the weed management area, the Twin Valley Weed Management Area out of Red Cloud, that's where the office is. And that's a group of several counties that got together. They put in for grant dollars. They started spraying the Phragmites, the purple loosestrife, the Canada thistle, and then doing some tree clearing along that waterway, as well as some of the tributaries coming into that waterway. So what happened was Kansas sued Nebraska because they weren't getting their water. So they got it cleaned up, spent a lot of money on it, and the water started to flow again. Well, that $70 million lawsuit pretty much went away. I think we ended up paying $5 or $6 million, $5 million. So again, huge benefit to the state and to the taxpayer by doing a good job controlling weeds. You know, most people don't see this. They don't think about it. They don't realize how much money that the Weed Control Authority saves the people of the state of Nebraska. So now the water flows year-round to Kansas, and they don't want it in the wintertime. So they're paying Nebraska, or they're paying Harlan to store their water in Harlan County. So we're storing water for Kansas now. So very great success story, and so the more of that sort of thing that can happen, the better. So at any rate, I will leave my card. And so if you have any questions, or if you have any questions now, I'll be glad to answer those.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions about what we do, what the state does, or
real briefly? You mentioned Canadian thistle. In this area, I know that's been greatly diminished from what they used to be 20 years ago. You see that all over?
That is true. Now, if you read the first page of that letter that I passed around, you'll see that the infested acres in the state of all the noxious weeds has decreased considerably. And what you'll also find is that I'd have to look at the letter back in, is it 89, I believe, we had 3 noxious weeds, and now we have 12. And yet, with the additional noxious weeds that have been added to the list, we've still reduced the acres of the infested acres in the state. So it's been a real success story as far as the overall program is concerned. And so so we are seeing decreased acres. Now, we are starting to see, once again, the Phragmites starting to increase. And so we want to try to get back on that. And with that, I just wanted to mention, too, that a weed superintendent that's involved in a weed management area is extremely beneficial to your county. And I'll tell you why, because there's a lot of grant money out there. And if you've got a weed superintendent that's participating in a weed management area and they can bring those concerns to that weed management area, it's not uncommon at all to see, you know, tens if not hundreds of thousands of dollars come into a county to control weeds. So it's, again, there's a LB 1038 was just passed. That was a state bill that passed for $475 million, mainly to control Phragmites on waterways. So that might be something you want to consider. You might be able to get involved with a weed management area and get a project going in your county. And so, anyway.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Beck, you might want to spend some time down in Elm Township by Odell. I heard there's a farmer down there that's got some issues.
Yep. Glenwood, Matt.
Oh, Glenwood. Sorry.
Both of them.
Now there's the tip right there.
Isn't there a pumpkin infestation down there?
There was.
Yeah, okay.
We took care of that, though.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience here today.
No problem.
Next on the agenda, do we need to place that on file, his report?
Motion to place report on file.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle to replace his report on file. Vote.
Oh, oh yes. Jurgens.
Well, Jurgens doesn't want it on there because it's probably got him in it.
Steven.
Okay, so throwing plenty of money.
Six in favor with Teeman voting against. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for Gage County Fairgrounds, Speedway, and Beer Garden, Midway for the Gage County Fair, July 26th through the 30th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Oh. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Jurgens.
Did you know free beer?
Steve, do you want to comment on it other than it's the same thing as every year? And it's
the same thing as every year.
Every year.
We have one extra night of entertainment
this
year.
Hold it. Yeah, sorry. Okay.
We have added an extra night of concert this year. We went back to 3 nights
of
concerts.
Can you identify yourself, please?
My name is Steve Whitwer, president of Gage County Ag Society. Okay. You want my address? Okay. So anyway, that's basically it's the same thing we've done every year, except for an additional night of concert activity rather than a speedway event. So,
Steve, will you explain why you turned down the city from letting them use part of the fairgrounds?
Yes,
to help out the city of Beatrice?
I certainly will. We've let the city use parts of the fairground before, but with the close proximity to the Gage County Fair, the amount of wetness that we had out there, our agreement with the Department of Motor Vehicles for use as our asphalt area is used as a CDL ground on Mondays and Tuesdays for testing of CDLs, which would have been obviously Monday and Tuesday this week. We felt that it was just going to be too much of a problem possibly with all the debris that may be in there to get it cleaned up. We've had several incidents lately of wetness when we've had people come out and even get stuck in the area where they were probably going to be putting the trees. Our parking lots wouldn't be a very good place to, not our parking lots, but our, they are actually used as parking lots during the fair, our grass areas, which we have contracted for people to be taking hay off of that. And so those are some of the reasons that we declined it. We did let the city come out to use it as a staging area for vehicles and things.
And Denny, Tobias said on the radio here just yesterday, he said they've contracted or contacted the chipping company or the company that's going to grind that. They hope to have them here in 30 to 60 days. So we would otherwise had trees out there yet during the fair.
What's wrong with the location we've got, I guess?
I know it.
Right where they're at. I mean, looks like a perfect spot.
Well, the only issue was that you had vehicles lined up for 3-4 blocks and
waiting an hour and a half.
It was a long wait.
And the city has other places too they could have found to park that stuff, that debris and stuff.
Yeah, I like the one that you could take it out to the dump, but they'd have charged you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And we have, and Commissioner Byers, we have let the city during time periods like in snow and things like that when it's not going to bother our grounds, we use that as a dumping area in our parking, not our parking areas, but our parking areas north that are city property. Within the city limits, not city property.
And I understand that. I'm just very concerned that we cooperate, that we help everywhere we possibly can. When you have a bad situation like we did for the city of Beatrice, it was a horrible situation. And I know you have your reasons, but the city of Beatrice had some reasons also. And I know they ended up finding places to go, but
Yeah, I understand your concerns.
Concerned about cooperation, about people taking but not giving. And
right.
So it's my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I understand that.
Some people found my ditches as a place that was good to dump, I noticed.
And we also had dumping out to fairgrounds, which was not approved to. So, I mean, people come out there all the time and dump things. But anyway, that's the reason I can give you. And that's why we decided not to. So.
The other comment I'll make is Gus did sign a letter here, or submit a letter that the Gage County Sheriff's Office is fully aware of the applicant's request and intentions to hold his functions, and we do not oppose the issuance of a special designated license. So Gus did supply that also.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you much, Steve. We have a motion for it in a second already.
Yep.
Any more questions? Vote.
Yeah. Just say you could always ask Terry.
7-0 in favor. Next up, approve or disapprove resolution to increase the jail budget by $45,000. There are insufficient funds in the 2016-2017 jail budget to finish paying the obligations of said budget.
Motion to approve.
Second. Resolution 17-17.
17-17. Motion by Bauman, and who did the second over here? Heeman. Don, what? There wasn't enough funds in there otherwise?
It's just short of money. Spent more than what we had budgeted.
I think we could sit here today and maybe have a discussion on some of this, but I think some of this, as we go through the budget for next year, we'll have more discussion and stuff. A fair amount of it was for increased boarding of prisoners and also of their medical. But I'm sure we'll look at that budget closer as we go through next year. Terry.
Pretty soon we're going to have to reserve a jail cell for you in there.
I can tell you that.
In all seriousness, though, with this one, this is the second increase now. So that's an increase of $105,000 for the jail. There's higher medical costs, more outside boarding. Along with that, though, we probably need to start getting on staff over there and pinching our pennies on other stuff, though. I mean, I think we're going to probably start reviewing reviewing invoices that come through as we go through for payment. But
we review.
We do that already through Finance Committee.
We'll have more comments on that as we go through the budget process.
And I tried to, over the years, between the quarter reports and having the meetings with the committee, kind of help you all understand. My office, no different than anybody else, it's just gone up with expense. You know, the jail goes hand in hand with the sheriff's office and vice versa. we get closer and closer to add or over 7,000 calls for service a year. That relates right back to the jail population. Late yesterday, I took a van load up to Seward County. Their new facility finally opened up, and we're one of the first ones to put some in there. And on the way back, I stopped off to get something to drink. There's a table full of older gentlemen sitting in one of the coffee shops there, and they got talking to me, and obviously they were not for that new facility. But the board up there, when they had, I think, used a nickel tax, right, matched what they did up there, and then bonded. And I could see the conversation was going to go nowhere because they didn't really understand the concept. They just saw the taxes go up. But as you're seeing the money that's getting spent, it's not because they want to. It's just that's part of the business.
And that facility went way over budget. Now their staffing's way over budget. Their operating expenses are way over budget. Yep. They were going to be at their limit already, and now they've gone way past.
And they, what they did is they moved the courts in there as well. So that what they're doing, I asked what they're going to do with offices in the courthouse. Now they're bringing probation in. They're bringing extension in and using it and quit paying whoever they're paying for rent somewhere else, I suppose, and going to use the courthouse for that. So it was a tough decision for the board, I'm sure, there, and it's going to be probably a tough one here at some point in time. But the money for the jail side, a medical probably not going to go away none too soon, but outside holds will continue to be there and probably increase until a decision is made at some point in time. So we hold them here or do something, I guess, but I just can't control that right now.
Thank you.
So, yep.
Any more discussion? Not vote. 7-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove a resolution to increase the sheriff's office budget by $25,000. There are insufficient funds in the 2016-17 sheriff budget to finish paying the obligation of said budget.
Motion to approve.
17-18.
Second. Motion by Bauman, second by Juergens.
Now this one, this is a $25,000 increase to this budget. When we're looking back at this, if I understand this right, there's an additional $24,000 we're over budget too, so this is another $50,000 because $24,000 was borrowed from inheritance last year and was supposed to be paid back. That didn't happen.
Yes, it did.
It did get paid back?
He transfers out right away, don't you, begin every year?
No, we didn't on this one because we had talked that you were going to be short, so we didn't transfer that. So that stayed in there, so it was.
So this is an additional $50,000. There was already, originally at the beginning of this year, we were a little rough on Gus here. There's going to be a 28% increase, 27% increase was initial asking, which would have been $1.3 million. We ended up accepting 1.2, which is about a $70,000 increase, if I'm looking at this right. Around $70,000 increase again. And I beat the desk and threw a fit and said, no more money. We're going to live within this budget. We're over by 50 grand again. I'm going to vote against this. And when we have our next budget here, we're going to have to start trimming somewhere. Everybody's going to have to trim, and the sheriff's in a bad spot because we've got medical expenses going up. We've got staffing prices going up. We've got holding prices going up, but we're going to have to trim back somewhere. We can't keep climbing like we are. The sheriff's deals with a whole different ball game than the rest of us do, but we look at one department's climbing really fast. I mean, if you have 30% of your budget goes to one place, and then before long you have 60% of that budget going to the same department, we've got to nip it somewhere and stop it. Otherwise, instead of gravel, we're going to be buying flashing lights. I mean, we have to keep money back for our road department and the other services as well. That's my soapbox for the day. I told the sheriff I was going to be rough on him today, but that was the discussion at the beginning of the year, and I think I'm going to stick to it.
Any other comments? Vote. 6 in favor with teaming against. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove a resolution to close the Homeland Security Fund and to direct the county treasurer to transfer all monies in Homeland Security Fund as of June 21, 2017 to the general fund and all future collection for Homeland Securities.
Motion to approve. What's the balance?
It was 83,000 something. I don't have the exact figure in front of me.
Will we create a line item in the general fund that will designate where those funds come from? Or will we do that?
Where they come from? This was money that was put in there. I think it was after it was spent out. I think most of it was done several years back when we were getting grants. And it's been sitting there.
This was a line item when we were going through stuff last year's budget. It was like, hey, where's this?
Well, we used to pay when Sean was here. We used to pay for him to go out training, and we were reimbursed some of those dollars.
Where will that go in the general fund is what I'm
asking. It just goes into the...
So we're not going to track where it came from. We're not going to track it moving forward.
We don't need to, I mean, unless you want it particularly.
Well, they said any additional collections. How are we going to know when it just
well,
got
if she
in?
Gets
so
taxes or whatever,
it, something.
She would automatically move it if there's ever any taxes. That's just kind of a standard.
Okay.
If you want it into some particular place, but I, right now, I don't have a place designated. And this, I put this on because there was some discussion earlier. If you choose not to close it, that's fine. It's not seen any revenues for a while, so it's up to you.
There hasn't been any activity in or out.
However you want to handle it. I don't have a...
I have a motion by Bauman, but I don't have a second yet.
Second.
Second. Any more discussion? Vote. 6 in favor with Teeman against. Oops, 7 in favor. Approve or disapprove agreement with the Lancaster County Youth Service Center for Juvenile Detention Services.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle.
Lytle.
Roger.
Basically, as you notice, this contract's been is updating a very old one. There's an increase in the per diem rate from 236 to 276 per day for a juvenile that we have to house under detention. I would note for the public that we work closely with the county court judge and with probation officers here to try to limit putting juveniles in the facility for cost reasons as well as trying to get them back at home using the electronic monitoring and things like that. Unfortunately, some of these young folks that run afoul of the law, we don't quite frankly need to have the concern out there for the public, so we need to house them. Again, if at all possible, we try to get a rapid adjudication, which basically means we get them under the jurisdiction of the state probation office, so the state will help pick up that cost. But again, it's a necessary evil that we need. And quite frankly, to give you an idea, we've got one young person that we're trying to find right now. When we find him, we don't know where he's going to go because all the facilities are full. Lancaster has to take Lancaster County juveniles first, and so they've got their allotment of out-of-county residents already. Then we go into like Norfolk, Sarpy County, Douglas County. And that all creates sometimes costs for Gus transporting in that kind of situation. So, unfortunately, we got that. We have that need. Reviewing the contract, like I said, other than the price increase, the rest of it basically is a little better contract than you saw in 2008. I would recommend approval.
And this, we don't have facilities in our county to house.
No, we can't house. I mean, even on a very short-term basis, Gus is extremely limited. If we bring a juvenile in his facility because of some kind of security issue, he's got to make all kinds of changes as far as keeping the adult population away and having help if it's a female. I don't even know if you can do that anymore on a juvenile. He basically has to find another facility.
And the sheriff ends up paying for all this. There's no way to recoup this expense for holding this problem.
The county pays for this.
The county pays for it, but it basically goes out of the jail budget, correct, for outside holding?
I'll be honest, I don't know where that does. I mean, we just, from my end, is all we try to do is keep it down and move the kids as quickly as possible.
Are there any of those facilities that are private, or are those all public?
Those are all public. And again, that's something I know the sheriff and our office has talked about is, you know, far as like a regional facility, because, you know, Pawnee County has the same, not as many juveniles, obviously, but Jefferson, Pawnee, Johnson, Richardson, they all have the same issue. We don't have a facility. We don't have a contract that basically we know we can always put a juvenile, offending juvenile in that place, both for the safety of the juvenile and the safety of the community. And consequently, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to find places.
Is there any way to recoup any of those expenses for holding people? I mean, it's getting to be a huge cost for the county. I mean, holding people,
I'll give you an example, though, on people that do damage to victims of crimes. We can't put a restitution requirement unless we have a separate hearing now to determine if they can pay it back. Now, what do you suppose your chances of proving that up are? They've got a public defender already.
Vote. 7-0 in favor.
Juergens and Demons should open up a work camp. I bet that would clean them up pretty quick.
Chain gang, Sheriff.
I'll give you your first referrals, buddy.
Okay.
You tasseling corners did a good job.
Roger, too.
Roger, I guess you have, there's a county attorney spot, and everybody has to sign that one. Down the left, there's yours. Approve or disapprove declaring the county property located at Lot 13, Block 28, Wymore, original parcel number 00836400, and county property located at Lot 11, Block 21, Wymore, original parcel number 00830000, 221 South 7th, to be declared surplus, and directing Gage County Sheriff to sell said property at public auction held on July 12th, 2017 at 10 a.m. on the first floor of the courthouse.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Thiemann and a second by Bauman. And this basically is, we decided last, the property we cleaned up, and then another little parcel, too. We're going to just have those, guess we'll sell those at an auction, and this is something we needed to do to clean things up. We had to declare those as surplus county properties. So, John?
And I got a question for Roger. Can we guarantee that they're free of any tax liens against them? No.
Well, they're going to get a quit claim deed.
Okay.
Because we've done more than enough. Now, do I think there's anything? I don't, but it's all I got to do is go down and look at the registered deeds.
Right.
And
Now, what if the purchaser wants to pay for title insurance?
Sure.
Can we make a contingent on that? I mean, if they want to make sure that there's no liens that's attached to that
property.
They should
go out before they bid and do that.
Normally.
What most people do in like an auction is either hire an attorney to go out and do a title search or pay a Nebraska title. We call it a quick title check. In other words, you know, just to make sure that you're not buying a property that's got other problems with it.
But if you're going to put it out to bid, you could have multiple people doing the title.
Normally, back taxes are paid by the seller, but in this case, I would let the buyer pay all back taxes up to date.
Yeah, you don't get a property that's as clean as this one too often.
And that's something they need to check with Lori with, and then also down in our register of deeds. And I did, John, and I'm not going to go on the record saying that but I did check with both of them. Both of them said there were not. Now, somebody buying the property, that's still up to them to do their due diligence and go themselves, and like Roger said, go to a title company and check before.
Or an attorney.
Or attorney or whatever, because selling them as they are, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're selling them at an auction, and, you know, if you got a half a dozen people that want to bid on them, I don't think expect there to be those, but they could all be going out to hire an attorney or, you know, get title insurance.
For instance, when Gus sells stuff at the sheriff's, a true sheriff's auction, they get a sheriff's deed, which is very similar to a quit claim deed.
Yeah.
You're getting what's out there. Yeah, so buyer beware.
Right.
They can check that ahead of time.
They can check that ahead of time, and that's up to them to do that amount of work. Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor. The next one, approve or disapprove having chairman sign conflict of interest letter with Keating O'Gara Law Firm. I would like a short closed session with that, so if we need to, we will come out and make a decision on that today, but we have a few other things here. I think we'll skip over that one and have that closed session after we do the next few things. Approve or disapprove accepting the community-based juvenile services aid grant award for $71,326 and having chairman sign award.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle.
Christina couldn't be here today, so she asked me to answer any questions. I would just tell you that this is a very similar grant to what she submitted and was accepted in the past few years. I think it shows what programs basically she is using the grant money for. And I would just note, as far as the contribution from the county, it's a matching deal, which basically through her consults, we have the 10% matching. So I would, again, recommend you use or approve this. We have been using that truancy program, which was developed. And I would indicate, I think we've made some headway this year, although we've had a lot of truancy cases. Hopefully the word's getting out and get those young people to attend school more regularly.
I think it's a very good program, and Christina works real well with it.
So. Oh, yeah.
Any more comments? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove the purchase of tax sale certificate number 4478, presently held by Lynn Garacki Sabe, for the current redemption value of $2,959.42. We'll have Roger explain this, I think, before we make a motion.
Okay. Basically, this is a property that's located across from the highway department. We've been working on acquiring that for longer than I want to think about. And basically, we got the other tax certificate. You folks did that, I think, about 2 years ago or so. This is the other one that we've got negotiated. These people, we finally reached an accord on this thing. And you'll see after, if you approve this, then we're going to immediately move to foreclose and get that property. So that's where it's at.
And basically what you're saying is then we basically bought half the tax certificates several years ago. This is the other half of the tax. Then the county will own that property, that old house across.
So that would be the total cost then we'd have in it?
That'd be the whole thing.
About
$5,000.
Then
we'll foreclose, and again, if there's anything
okay.
All right. out there as yep. far as a mortgage, because I'll yep. just leave it at yep. that. Yep. But we'll foreclose that out.
Okay, good.
And I'll just say this. Lori had been watching this, and she visited with me, too, and I know she visited with Roger. There's some timelines in here and stuff and other things. If we don't act on some of this, then some of that could take different courses or whatever.
You could get another party.
Right. Then you could get another party coming in and stuff. So this is as much as anything. Two things. Cleared up. We've always wanted that property or whatever. This is kind of the legal process you have to go through to get it. Now we'll have that property. Then we can go about cleaning the house up and, you know, what. Way in the future or something, sometime in the future, if we ever build a different office building, that would be a good site for it. We knew that. Part of the problem was getting our hands on that property, and this basically allows us to finish getting the other half of the tax certificates. The county will then own that property.
Yeah. Have a gravel truck hit their house and get rid of it.
Yeah. Motion to approve if you want it.
So now we need a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Oh, sorry, didn't hear that. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove of a resolution for the Gage County Attorney to commence foreclosure action on delinquent tax liens.
So move.
Second.
A motion by Beyer, seconded by Bauman.
17-20.
17-what? 20?
20.
20. And what's this? We just need a resolution so that he can do that?
Yeah, so we can foreclose out what you just bought.
Oh, that shouldn't have been before. No, I'm
no, no, no. We got to own it before we foreclose it.
Okay. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
That's the most I've asked from this board in.
I know it. Yes. Yes.
remember that in 2 months.
Yeah.
I did buy some software too, by the way.
Denny Byers made the motion, and Bauman yes. seconded that.
Okay.
We do have the one other thing on the agenda besides our closed session for negotiation personnel, and that is approve or disapprove having chairman sign conflict of interest letter with Keating O'Gara Law. This has to do with the FOP, and we need to have a short closed session on that one to because it involves negotiations, to have discussion before we do make a decision on that. That is the one thing. The other part of the closed session, there won't be any decisions coming out. There just will be that one there.
And we might make a note, too, that she leaves her here, you know, having the land thing, but we aren't dealing with any of that today.
No.
I don't know if you were told that or not. But.
No.
You stayed the whole
meeting.
They
were just here to watch one.
It doesn't happen very often.
Well, it was interesting. I've never been to a meeting before, so it was very interesting. I'm a school board, so this is...
You see, it's not that big evil people talk about, is it?
I entertain a motion at 10:50 on the clock to go into closed session.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann. And this is necessary for the protection of public interest or for protecting a needless injury to the reputation of an individual, and it's for the FOP negotiations and other personnel.
Sheriff, you're staying, aren't you?
You mean stay out in which you...
Yeah. Yes.
I've got something else for you,
yes,
too, that I
want
to ask.
Nancy, I want you back in here as soon as we're done. Oh, vote 7-0. As soon as we're done with this Keating O'Gara one, then we have a zoning one. I want an issue.
Sure, he keeps all the good stuff in there.
Entertain a motion at 11:32 on the clock to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Vote. 6-0 in favor with Bauman having left. We have one more agenda item. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove having chairman sign conflict of interest letter with Keating O'Gara Law Firm.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann. So moved. So moved to approve or disapprove.
Let's make it so moved to approve signing it, which would mean you would sign it. So a vote for would be signing. It's okay to have the no conflict letter. A vote against it would say no, do not sign it. We think there is a conflict, and we do not want you to sign it.
Is that okay, Denny? You did second. Okay, motion by Thiemann, seconded by Byers.
No, we don't want that.
Does everybody understand?
What I want, Myron.
What?
No, just tell me.
No. The motion was to approve signing it, okay? If you wanted to approve signing it, you vote for it. If you don't want to approve signing it, you have to vote against
okay.
it. Okay. Everybody ready? Understand?
Maybe.
Vote.
Ready.
I
gotta
go this way. You sure?
Oh, Terry.
Oh. Oh.
Wait a minute.
Denny?
Oh, we're good.
Do you understand? I don't care what you do.
Oh, I don't understand.
Yeah, I know. 0 in favor and 6 against. In other words, we are not signing the conflict, agreeing to the conflict of interest letter with Keating O'Gara Law and allowing the union to... have attorneys in that same law firm as what we are, since we have the insurance attorneys.
Right.
Should have explained that a little bit.
So they will not be able to use them.
They will not be able to use them. Yes. We will not sign the letter.
You might just clarify.
Okay. Just totally lost.
Just like you brought that up. Firm will continue to represent the
just
county
like you said originally.
In the litigation that's pending. Okay. That's not part of this issue.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so somebody didn't catch that and wonder what we're doing.
Right. The two attorneys we have hired, Joel Nelson and Joel Bacon, will continue to represent and will be hired by the county. That is not what we're signing. This conflict of interest letter would have allowed the FOP to have a couple attorneys, what they've had, represent them before from this Keating O'Gara Law Firm. We are not signing that. We do not want them to have attorneys in the same law firm representing them as representing us.
I was pissed.
Anything? That's right, isn't it?
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes. Do you want to check on next committee meeting?
Next committee meetings are actually Monday, July 3rd. Our next board meeting will be July the 5th.
And I'm going to be gone from the 27th. We'll be back the 5th, but probably not in time for the meeting.
Well, the only reason we're bringing that up is to make sure that everybody's aware of it and we'll be here the 3rd, that we have enough for committee meetings.
Now, how does that work? Most of the time, everything's closed on Monday for a holiday.
This is... This holiday is recognized or observed on the day. So the day is Tuesday. So we'll be closed Tuesday.
Well, the courthouse will be open Monday the 3rd.
So I said to him, some of them take a little extended, you know, take the extra day. So if anybody's going to be gone, we could do committee meetings on the 30th, which is a Friday. And then everybody didn't have to worry about it. But if
people have a preference?
Yeah, does that... What is your office staff doing? I'll just say that. I mean, are you able to get the work done or not? I mean,
it would be easier for us because of the short time to get the paperwork done for you guys, you know. But
you won't be here Tuesday.
No,
then nobody will be here Tuesday for like setting the agenda and all that.
I have to do that from home.
You have to do that from home.
Or come in, one or the other.
So I don't.
Are you
going
to clock in, Don?
Does it work better?
I clock in.
Does it work better for everybody to do it on the 30th versus the
30th? It doesn't matter, though. I mean, I can go either way. So it's however you guys want to do it. Just so we have enough.
Just so we know.
I was concerned about if everybody was going to be here or not.
I don't care. I just soon go third. Everybody's got to work anyway, but it don't make any difference.
Huh? The 3rd or the 30th? The 3rd is a Monday, July 4th. If somebody's gone, if too many people were gone, then...
I will be out of town the 30th through the 3rd, I think. So,
doesn't matter either way to you, does it?
Yeah. Do whatever you want.
You'll be gone. Jenny will be gone.
I will say I could be here all of Friday morning. I'm not sure about the 3rd.
On the 30th, I'll be here until... I could be here till noon for sure, if that helps what we're wanting to do.
Sounds like good. Why don't we have them on the 30th then?
Okay.
Yep. Is that okay? You can advertise them.
Okay.
Committee meetings will be June 30th, and you will need to send a reminder out to us then.
Okay. Well, I'll be sending out on Thursday your agenda too then.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
What time?
7:38.
12:30.